Exodus chapter number 32. We've been studying this book together, and we finished chapter 31 of the book of Exodus, and we're moving into chapter number 32. Going to be here a while. I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about services. I think it's going to take probably at least three services to get through this chapter. And we're asking God to speak to our hearts. This is a very familiar story in the Bible. It's one of those passages, one of those chapters that you may be somewhat familiar with. But when we start digging into it, there are so many things in this. Absolutely amazing. Just applicable truth. The longer I study and the more I study, and I'm looking for applicable truth. Truth that we can take and apply to our lives. And this chapter is full of things like this. It's the chapter of the making of the golden calf. An interesting thing is Aaron makes it. I mean, the Word of God says that Aaron molded it. And then when Moses confronted him, he said, "Moses, I just put the gold in the fire and the calf just came walking out of it." There's a lot of applicable truth. Let's read beginning in verse number 1. And I'll skip around a little bit here, because we're going to be doing a study just working down through this chapter together over the next several services. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Verse number 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. The tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." And it came to pass, as soon as he, Moses, came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "Ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin," notice the dash, "and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." In verse number 30, 31, and verse number 32, Moses identifies what they did as a great sin, and their sin. In verse number 17, Joshua said, "There's the voice of dancing, there's the voice of war in the camp." And I want you to notice the word sin in verse 32, and notice the three words in the last part of verse 17, "in the camp." And I preached to you this morning on that subject, sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. We'll begin this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this service. Speak to our hearts as we continue our study through this glorious book of Exodus. Challenge us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to Exodus chapter 32, Moses has been up on the mountain in communion with the Lord God of heaven. The Lord has been giving him the law and the instructions for the making of the tabernacle with all of its furnishings. As we came to the end of chapter 31, God gave Moses two tables of stone, and I quote, "written with the finger of God. What a blessed thought to have God give a copy of His word to His leader upon that mountain. But while Moses was meeting with God upon the mountain, something else was taking place at the base of the mountain in the camp. And as we will see, there was sin in the camp. Something that was very displeasing to the Lord was happening at the bottom of the mountain. And as we study this, we get some great lessons. Now, just by means of introduction, I'm giving you my outline. And my sermon will come under the last point of the outline as we have several thoughts under it. I'm just going to summarize this story, give you the verses, and you can read it as I summarize it to you. First of all, we notice the account of this sin. This is found in verses 1 through 6. As I announce the verses, if you want to read them, you can. You don't have to, as I just identify what's taking place. When Moses did not come down, notice now in these verses, in their time, the people began to grow impatient. They came to Aaron and they told him to make them gods to go before them. Aaron tells these people in the opening 6 verses to break off their golden earrings and bring them to him. When they did this, Aaron fashioned it with a graving tool into a calf. Now it's interesting that the calf is what the Egyptians worshipped. Interesting, isn't it? Because that's what they've just been delivered from. And when the people saw the golden calf, they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." That was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, honestly, idolatry makes no sense at all. When Aaron saw the calf, the Bible says he built an altar before it, and then he made a proclamation and said, "Now tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord." Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's a thought right there. The people rose early the next morning, and it's interesting what they did. The Bible says they offered burnt offerings. Were they supposed to? Were they supposed to offer offering? Is it a good thing to offer offerings? Sure! But they were offering it to God before a golden calf. This is the account of the story. The Bible says they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You study the word play there, it doesn't mean take a baseball and a bat out and play, okay? That's not what it means. It carries the idea of immoral sexual activity. That's what it means. What a terrible sinful act was taking place before the Lord God of heaven and against the Lord God of heaven who had been so good to them. Acts chapter 7, verses 39 to 41 gives a little enlightenment to what happens here. Listen to this. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, "Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. See, their problem was a heart problem, friends. The Word of God says here, the account of this sin, that they just couldn't figure out why Moses hadn't come off the mountain, and they were growing impatient. So they go to Aaron and say, "Make us gods. We need a God. We need something we can see. We need something that we can identify with. We need something that looks good to us." He said, "Break off your golden earrings, bring them to me." And he makes this calf, and they begin to bow down to it, and they begin to offer offerings to it. And the Word of God in Acts says they did this because their heart turned back to Egypt. This is the account of the sin. Number two, the awareness of the Lord. This is not the sermon. This is just summarizing the story for you. Not only the account of the sin, but the awareness of the Lord. In verses 7 through 10, the Lord told Moses to get down from the mountain because the people had corrupted themselves. He proceeded in these verses to tell Moses, you can read it, verses 7 to 10, what exactly was going on in the camp. And he told how they had made a molten calf, how they had worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and then he even told Moses what they said about it. Read it. He said, now wait a minute. God's with Moses on the mountain. Yes, but God's also omnipresent. He was in the camp at the bottom of the mountain at the same time. and he saw what they were doing, and he heard their words, he was aware of what was going on. And he told Moses, he said, I have seen them. Read it. I have seen them. And they are nothing but a bunch of stiff-necked peoples, what they are. That's the awareness of the Lord. Number three, it's all introduction, okay? Just stay with me now. We see the actions of Moses. Now, we're going to camp out there in a later service, but this is found in verses 11 through 32. Don't worry about it. You can't read it by the time I get done here. But verses 11 to 32 would be good for you to read later. Matter of fact, we're going to study those verses in detail later. After the Lord told Moses what was going on in the camp, Moses immediately prayed to the Lord, and he begged God for his mercy not to wipe out the nation of Israel, but rather to show mercy upon them. Then Moses came down from the mountain, and when he, Moses, saw the calf and he saw the dancing, you can read it now, he got mad. He got angry. And he threw the tables of stone that God had written with his finger. He threw them out of his hands and broke them at the bottom of the mountain. By the way, it's a beautiful picture that when you break one command, you break them all. God's law had been broken. He then took the calf and he burned it. And he ground it to powder, the Bible says. Listen, friends, what a leader. I wish I could get to this. I can't get to it this morning. He ground it to powder and he strawed it, the Bible says, upon the he strawed it upon the water, and he made the children of Israel drink it. By doing that, it was going to be eliminated as waste. Now stay with me here, friends. He confronted Aaron and he asked Aaron, he said, what did these people do to make you bring upon them so great of a sin? Aaron said, Moses, don't get your feathers ruffled. You read it. That's not the original. That's paraphrasing. Don't get so mad. You know these people. They're nothing but just a bunch of stiff-necked people. I just told them to bring their gold, and I threw it in the fire, and out walked this calf, Moses. The Bible says, after this took place, Moses stood in the gate. He was standing against some 600,000 Israelite soldier men. One man standing against 600,000, rough estimate, but he had just gotten off the mountain with God, friends. And he didn't stand before fear of man. He had the fear of God on his life. And he commanded and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Can't you hear Moses making this proclamation? Moses then commanded for the sin to be dealt with thoroughly. Finally, we see Moses went back to God in prayer, pleading for God to be merciful to the Israelites. That's the actions of Moses. I'm not going to get that far today. I wish I could. Number four, the aftermath of the sin. What took place as a result of this? Found in verses 33 through 35. After Moses spoke again to the Lord, pleading for mercy, the Lord tells Moses that the ones who sinned would be the ones blotted out of his book. They believe, and I'm one to agree with it, that that's the book of the living. In other words, the book of, not the book that folks are written into when they trust Christ. No, his book of the living, his life book. In other words, they're going to die a premature death, okay? And the chapter ends with the Lord plaguing the people because they made the calf. And it's interesting how this chapter ends, which Aaron made. Aaron said, I didn't make it. I just threw the gold in. The calf came walking out. God said, no, he didn't. I'm going to write it down for the ages. Aaron made it. You can't get by with it, friends. Now, may I say this to you? What a terrible story in the Word of God. Awful. I mean, Moses has been gone, what, 40 days? And they're growing impatient. As for this Moses, we don't know what even become of him, Lord. I'm talking about Aaron, we need gods. Make us some gods that we can worship and that we can see. Aaron, instead of being the leader he should have been, he succumbs to the pressure. Well, just bring me your golden earrings. And he fashions it and all this kind of stuff. And God says, Moses, get off the mountain. They're stiff-necked people. They have made themselves a molten calf, and they have bowed down to it. They're offering offerings to it. And here's what they said, leave me alone, Moses, that I may consume them. Moses falls down before the Lord and says, please, I'm paraphrasing now, please, don't completely destroy them. Because of what you said to the, your testimony, God, is at stake. Do it for yourself. Show mercy for yourself. And God begins to show mercy. Moses comes down off the mountain, and there stands Joshua. Joshua says, Moses, I hear the sound of war in the camp. And Moses has been with God. God's already told him what it is. And Moses says, I don't hear the sound of war. I hear the sound of dancing and people making merry. Moses comes down off that mountain with the law of God in his hands. Those two stone tables written with the finger of God. And that man of God sees the dancing and sees the calf, and the rage flares up in him. And he casts the stones down. And he goes to the calf and he destroys it and he straws it and he makes them drink it. He goes to the leader, one-on-one meeting, amen, with the head honcho, and he says, what's your problem? Why are you letting this happen? He begins to make excuses. Moses begins to deal with this. Falls down on his face again and says, Lord, they've sinned a great sin. Oh, a great sin. But Lord, would you be merciful? Would you forgive their sin? But if not, blot me out of the book of the living. Now, we come to the message. And that is, what's the application of the story? Now, I'm going to just get as far as I can get. As you've heard this story summarized, there are many points of application that we can grab out of this story and say, I need to learn that. I can get that there. Let me start giving these to you. Number one. Now, I do not know how far I'll get here. First of all, this is how the Lord spoke to my heart. First of all, we all worship. And we all sacrifice to something. You say, Jody, what's the point? The first thing we see in this story is how man is created to worship. We are. These people wanted something they could worship, and they were not hesitant to sacrifice to get it. May I say this to you? Gold is expensive. And the golden earrings that they were wearing, they had no problem sacrificing in order to get something that they felt was worthy to worship. Now, friends, listen to me. Everybody worships. You worship, so do I. Now, whether it be God or something else, I don't know, but every man, woman, boy, and girl worships. Do you understand where I'm going with this? One man said, man must have an object, and when he turns from the true God, he at once craves a false one. If we are not careful, get this, we can give our worship and our sacrifice to something or somebody other than the one true living God. Miss Lashley, who's here today, God bless her, she helps me understand things, amen. She said, and I quote, an idol is anything that displaces God in my heart. Let us, now get this. You say, wait a minute. I don't worship anything. You say that, you're worshiping yourself. Amen. You say, well, I'm saying man is created to worship. You worship, friends, so do I. You bow down to something. You bow down to someone. And whatever you bow down to, whatever you worship, you have no problem sacrificing to it, do you? Amen. Some people worship automobiles or worship homes or worship a job or worship this. That's why they don't mind sacrificing to keep it or sacrificing to get it. Or I'm talking about spending. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things in their right place. You understand? I'm not criticizing those things. But those things should never take the place of God. Everybody worships and everybody sacrifices. Why don't we determine today that we are going to give our worship to the one true living God? And why don't we determine today that we're going to sacrifice and we don't mind spending money and giving time and our treasures and our talents. We don't mind sacrificing to the one who truly deserves it. Everybody worships. Everybody sacrifices. Who are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? What are you... By the way, you may tell you how you can find the answer to that. What are you sacrificing for? Because whatever you worship, you sacrifice for. Amen, friends. I'm telling you, everybody worships. Everybody sacrifices. And we need to look at our own life and make sure that our worship and our sacrifice are given to the Lord God of heaven. Amen. By the way, does he deserve it? Absolutely. One man said, people as a rule spend freely on their vices, but they're not so ready to part with their valuables for the service of Jehovah. That's powerful. What are you worshiping? What are you sacrificing for? Anybody or anything other than God is an idol. That's number one. Number two, live by faith. You say that simple? Yes, live by faith. These people were focused on Moses. You'll notice they didn't say anything about the Lord. They said, as for this man, Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. The one who brought us out of the land of Egypt, question, was Moses really the one that brought him out? No. But they had their eyes on him. They had their eyes on the man, and they began to live by their senses, live by the flesh instead of by faith. And when they saw, notice it, when they saw Moses delayed to come down, they began to be impatient and demanded for Aaron to make them gods. Here's the point. Compare scripture with scripture. You know what I mean? Exodus chapter 24, verses 11 to 15. You don't have to turn to it, but in chapter 24, verse 11 to 15, Moses had told these people, you wait until me and Joshua come back again. That's what he told them. You wait until we come back. In other words, Moses told these people that both he and Joshua, they were coming back again, and all they were to do was wait for his return and don't get caught up in some foolish things. Anybody think you might know how I'm going to apply that? In other words, they had Moses' word, I'm coming back. But they grew impatient when he didn't come in their time, and they thought he should have come earlier, so their hearts turned back to Egypt and they fell into idolatry. One said, when Moses tarried in the mount, Israel became bored with the faith that sees the invisible and clamored for a God they could see and touch like they had back in Egypt. You know the way the Lord spoke to my heart here is how we've been given the word of the Lord that I am coming back again. And what did he give us to do? He said, occupy until I come. But many become complacent in their devotion, and they become complacent in their duty to the Lord because they simply lose sight of the fact that King Jesus is coming again. See, friends, we have his word. Have you seen Jesus? No. But we have his word. He has promised that he's coming back again. But if we're not careful, we who have his word and know better will begin to live by flesh instead of living by faith. And instead of living today with our eyes up toward the sky, could today be the day, Lord? Could today be the day when you're coming? Hey, if you live like that by faith, looking for him, it will change your life. There are things you will never do if you really trust that he could come at any moment. But they lost sight of the fact that Moses said, I'm coming back down here. They lost sight of it. And they began to live by their flesh instead of living by faith. May I say this to you? Is it hard sometimes to live by faith? You better believe it. Is it hard sometimes to keep in mind that it's not always going to be this way? Absolutely. But it all goes back to the fact that we believe that what God says He's going to do, He is going to do. And we're to live by faith, not by flesh. It's a major thought that we get from this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Let me give you number three. If I'm not careful, it's going to take me four sermons to get through it. Number three. Number one, we all worship and sacrifice. We need to make sure that we're worshiping and sacrificing to God, not a golden calf. You say, "How do I know what I'm worshiping?" What are you sacrificing for? Do you realize your family can become a golden calf? If your family takes the place of God, good things can become idols. Number two, live by faith. Number three, this is how God spoke to me. Use God's blessings to worship Him, not something else. You say, "Jody, what do you mean?" These people broke off their golden earrings. And they had these golden earrings used to make the golden calf that was going to bring God on their life. Here's my question. Where'd they get the earrings? I'll tell you where. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 2, Exodus chapter 11, verse 3, Exodus chapter 12, verse 36, they got them as part of the wealth that God gave them when they left Egypt. God gave them that gold. But they were using what God blessed them with to make an idol instead of worship God. Friends, the very air we breathe is a blessing from God Almighty. How many are using what God gives to worship something else or to worship somebody else other than the one who gave them the blessing in the first place? See, may I say this to you? We are very selfish, very, very selfish to take the hands that God gives and use them to do things that's not pleasing to Him. We're very selfish to take the feet that God gives us and allow them to take us places that we should never go. We're very selfish to take the eyes that God gives us that He allows us to see and look at things that should never come across the eyes of a born-again child of God. We take the mouth that God gives us, the tongue that God allows us to talk with, and we say things that should never come out of a Christian's mouth who's truly worshiping God. You see where I'm going with this? They took what God gave them and gave it to a false idol. Don't do that. May we realize that every heartbeat that our heart takes, that's God saying, "I love you. Here's a gift for you." And if we truly see what we have as not our own, we don't hold on to it as tightly as some people do. You ever heard somebody say this? "I'm not going to give to that. That's my money." And you're wrong, sir. And you're wrong, ma'am. That is not your money. That's God's money. You say, "Wait a minute, I worked hard." Okay, take a breath. Let it out. Who gave that to you? You cannot do anything. This is what Jesus said. "Without me, ye can do nothing." That's what He said. You want me to tell you what it means? Without Him, we can do nothing. That's what it means. Everything we have belongs to God. And He did not give it to us to make a golden calf with. So help me out this morning, friends. Amen. Let me give you a fourth thing. This is probably as far as we'll get today, this morning. Not today, this morning. We'll pick up here tonight. Number four. I sense the Lord leading me to stop after this point, because this churches need this. I need this. We all need this. Here's number four. God does not accept mixed worship. He does not accept mixed worship. Let me show you what I'm talking about. After Aaron made the golden calf, and after the people had declared it to be their God, you'll notice that Aaron made an altar before it. He made an altar before it. And he said, and I quote, he said, "The next day is a feast unto the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God. "That next day, the people rose up to offer offerings, but they rose up to play sexual acts against the Lord God of heaven." The point here is they were trying to mix the true worship of God with the false worship of a calf. They were trying to worship God and yet try to drag him down to their own image. May I say this to you? This is not true worship of God. And God does not accept worship this way. Even today, now get this. Aaron makes the calf. It's an ugly one. There it is. It's an ugly one. There it is. You use your sanctified imagination. Bring your golden earrings. He's in there making it. He's fashioning all this kind of stuff. And there it sits. "These be thy gods, O Israel. But I want you to know something. Tomorrow, we're going to give a feast to the Lord God of heaven." Did you see how ridiculous that is? Honestly. The people offer offerings, rise up to play. What's the point? The point is you can't have it your way. It's not Burger King worship, friends. Now, I like Burger King. Amen. I'm not against that. It blessed me once or twice this week. Amen. But this is not do-it-your-way worship. It's not have-it-your-own-way worship. God demands how he wants to be worshipped. God says this, "You can't make me into what you think I look like. Don't try to lower me down to your standards. You just worship me in the beauty of holiness. And you worship me in spirit and in truth." Even today, people are trying to worship God in a mixed fashion. One study Bible says, talking about the life application, King James Version, says our great temptation is still to shape God to our liking. True worship of God does not mix truth with error, friends. It doesn't make God into what we think he should be. Miss Lashley said, "The tragedy is that even while speaking and singing the praises of Jehovah in our churches, we may at the same time be bowing our hearts and wills before the false gods of our age." In verse number 8, the Lord said, "They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." They've turned aside quickly, Moses, out of the way that I commanded them. Concerning this, one man said, "In spite of all their worship, of all their sacrifices and festivities, Israel was departing from God. We may be very religious and still be far from God. Churches may have more meetings, be growing in number, and be building great buildings, and yet at the same time be departing from God. People may spend more time in prayer and religious meditation and still be departing from God. The key to whether or not we're drawing closer to God or departing from God is how we are obeying the Word of God. Israel was not obeying God's Word, thus they were departing from God." That's what God said. Wait a minute! You mean halfway's not any better than no way? Because at least Aaron said, "Tomorrow we're gonna send a festivity. We're gonna have a festival to the Lord." You mean God wasn't at least happy that with that? God said they've turned out of the way that I commanded them. See, friends, we even today can sugarcoat things. When God says it's disobedience, some people say, "Well, at least he went halfway. At least he started." God says this, "I want your whole heart. I want everything, lock, stock, and barrel, and you cannot make me into a golden calf and expect me to have a smile on my face when you have a festival to me the next day." It doesn't work that way. We need to learn that, friends. Is our worship of God truly pure and unadulterated? Are we bowing down to God? Or are we bowing down to something else while we think we're serving God at the same time? Friends, this can happen to individuals. It can happen to churches. Let us determine to bow down not to a golden calf, but may we truly bow down before the God of heaven. John 4, 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh," the Son of God said this, "the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." I leave you with these verses, and then we're coming to a close. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Just listen to it. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools," get this, verse 23, "and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Are we truly worshiping God? Or has there a golden calf snuck its way into your life? If there has, do what Moses did. Burn it, reduce it to powder, straw it on the water, drink it if you want to, and make the confession, it's no better than human waste. Whew. Sin in the camp, friends. And may God help us to give our praise to Him and Him alone. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You for this day, and I pray You'll help us as we're studying this chapter to be filled with the power of God. Lord, I pray and I confess in my own heart and life, there are too many times in my own life when a golden calf has tried to emerge. It comes in so many different packages. Would You help us to keep them out of our lives? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You've listened well today. I appreciate it. There's two types of people listening today, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior and those who never have. And if you today know for sure that heaven is your home, you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven, you're saved, you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you know that without a doubt, as they begin to play through softly, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that question saying, "I know I'm a born-again Christian"? It's a blessing, isn't it? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there somebody here today say, "Jody, I could not raise my hand to that, but I'll be honest, I have a desire to. I couldn't raise my hand saying I know the Lord is my Savior, but I do have a desire to be able to do that"? Is there anybody like that? You say, I'm lost, I'm not saved, or I have a doubt about it, but I'm ready to put an end to that. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to. Is there anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, "Pray for me. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't know it, but I want to." Let me ask you this question. You say, "Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer." Then I ask you this question. Is there sin in your camp? Is there a golden calf that's been made and you're bowing down to it instead of bowing down to God? Are you worshiping the living God, or are you worshiping a counterfeit? Do you realize there's no middle ground in that question? You're either completely worshiping God or you're settling for a counterfeit. And this golden calf is a counterfeit. Or maybe today God's speaking to your heart about just hang in, live by faith. You have my word, I am coming back. And I know it gets hard, it gets difficult, and you may be growing impatient, but God's taking his word and just reminding you today, I know it's hard, I know you're impatient, I know you want me to come right now, but just trust my word, I am coming again. Live in faith, hold the fort. Don't wave the white flag of surrender to the wrong things. Don't fashion a golden calf. Just stay true to God. Have you God speaking to you in that way? If the Lord's speaking to you in these ways about getting rid of the golden calves, or about just living by faith and keeping your eyes upon the soon coming of Jesus Christ, or using the blessings he's given you to serve him, however God is using this, worshiping him in a non-carnal way, however he uses it, let's do business with the Lord, shall we? Let's pray together. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God is speaking to your heart, would you come now? Would you do it, please? Come now, please,
have
as he sings.
Thine own way,
if God is speaking to you,
have
if God is speaking
way,
to you about getting rid of the golden calves,
thou art
using his
Lord
blessings to serve him with, not yourself,
I am
worshiping only him, not some counterfeit, whatever it is, may the Lord help us to do this.
After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and
as they're playing through softly, some are praying, some children being brought in. Let me encourage some of the leaders. Some of the leaders here that would feel comfortable coming and just getting on your knees on behalf of this church and begging God for this. This is how we'll close in our prayer. God, help this church to ever be a place that never sets up a golden calf while they try to worship you. May we never worship God in a mixed fashion. May we never try to lower God to an image that we make him to be. May we never try to fashion him into something that he is not. Do you understand what I'm asking here? Who else will come just to pray for that? That God will keep the golden calves away from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be a great prayer? Be a great prayer for our homes, our individual lives, especially for this church. And may God touch this and bless this. Let's pray about it, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for this service. And I pray for this place and this church that you help us to ever be a church that never fashions golden calves in order to worship God. May there never be a golden calf set up in this church. And may the will of God be done. May there never be mixed worship here. May it be God, only God. Keep us true to you, I pray. Please, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave, let me give you the names of these precious children. A few announcements and we'll be gone. Which one is Kaylee? All right, Kaylee, if you'll stand right there for me. Which one is Destiny? All right, and you, let me guess that you're Madison. All right, very good. These are three precious children, and all three of them today are coming to let us know that today they heard the gospel, they were dealt with thoroughly, and today they have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is that true? They're shaking their head, yes. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. We're happy for you. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means you get to go to heaven someday. Isn't that great? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go home and tell your mom and daddy what you did today. Did you ride the bus? Yes? You go home and tell mom and daddy, grandma, grand, whoever's in your home, brother, sister, I got saved today, and here's what I mean. And you might be able to tell them how they can go to heaven someday. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We're so proud of you. How many of you are happy for them? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Thank you. You can be dismissed. Thank you for coming. Remind you two special things, and we'll go. Men's stakeout. Please sign up on the way out. Please let us know if you're bringing some people with you or going to attempt to. And if you're an East Tennessee State University student, faculty or staff, if you'll come right up here, I'm going to meet with you. If you need to see me, if you'll hang around just a few minutes, I'll be right with you. Thank you. Be back tonight in God's house at 6:30. Thank you for coming.